This is a true crime in real time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
The trial of the only man ever charged in Tupac Shakur's murder was supposed to start in just a few weeks. But instead of a courtroom packed with reporters and the long-awaited moment where the case would finally be argued in front of a jury, the trial has been pushed back nearly a full year. Dwayne Davis, a man who has spent the last two decades putting himself at the center of the most infamous murder in hip-hop history, will now wait in a Las Vegas jail until February 9th, 2026, before he gets his day in court. The reason? His defense team says there's too much evidence, both old and new, to sort through, and the judge agreed. After nearly 30 years, this case has become a strange paradox. It's one of the most well-known murders in modern history, with a suspect who has publicly talked about his involvement over and over again. And yet, when it finally makes it to trial, the process slows to a crawl. It took decades just to get to an indictment, and now, even with an arrest, there's still more waiting. But this delay isn't just about scheduling conflicts or courtroom backlogs. This case is old, so old that witnesses have disappeared, evidence has been lost, and key players are no longer around to testify. And while the prosecution argues that Davis's own words are all they need to convict him, the defense has spent the last several months building an argument that could completely shift how this case is perceived. They aren't just asking for more time because of the evidence that already exists. They're claiming there's evidence that the public hasn't even seen yet, evidence that could challenge the entire foundation of the case against him. Davis was arrested in September 2023 in what seemed like the long overdue moment when law enforcement finally caught up with the only living suspect who has ever been tied to this crime. The indictment accused him of orchestrating the shooting of Tupac Shakur on the night of September 7, 1996, just off the Las Vegas Strip. According to prosecutors, this was a gang retaliation hit, set in motion just hours after Tupac and his crew attacked Orlando Anderson inside the MGM Grand Casino. It was simple, they said. Davis was the shot caller. He provided the gun. He gave the order. And even though he didn't personally pull the trigger, he was responsible for setting everything into motion. It was the first time in history that anyone had ever been formally charged with Tupac's murder. And for many, it felt like the mystery had finally reached a conclusion. But then came the legal maneuvering. The trial was originally set for March 2025, but Davis's lawyers quickly pushed back. They argued that this was one of the most complex murder cases in modern history, that the evidence was spread across decades, and that they simply didn't have enough time to properly investigate. This wasn't just about gathering old police reports or going through trial transcripts. This was about tracking down witnesses from 1996, analyzing forensic evidence that had been sitting in storage for years, and dealing with the fact that several key figures in the case were no longer alive. And the judge agreed. A fair trial means giving both the prosecution and the defense enough time to prepare their case. And while the state had been working on this indictment for years, Davis's lawyers were stepping into a legal minefield that required an entirely different level of preparation. The judge ruled that the case would be pushed back nearly a full year, with the next scheduled trial date set for February the 2026. That extra time also gives the defense more room to challenge the very core of this case, because while prosecutors are relying on Davis's own words to convict him, his legal team is now arguing that those words can't be trusted. The same man who once proudly claimed to be in the Cadillac that fired the fatal shots is now saying that those statements were taken out of context, that they were exaggerated, that they were meant to sell books and interviews, and that they shouldn't be used as evidence in a courtroom. And even more than that, they're introducing an entirely new defense strategy, one that questions whether Davis was even in Las Vegas at the time of the shooting at all. That's where things get complicated. Because if this case were as open and shut as people think, this trial wouldn't need to be delayed. The truth is, even with everything we think we know, there are still unanswered questions. There are still gaps in the timeline, and there are still missing pieces to the story that haven't been fully accounted for. So now the trial is delayed, the legal teams are digging deeper, and the case against Davis is slowly shifting into something bigger than just whether he confessed to being there that night. The defense is pulling together new witnesses, introducing new evidence, and even pointing the finger at someone else entirely. Because while everyone's been focused on whether Davis was responsible for Tupac's murder, his lawyers are now asking a different question, one that could turn this entire case upside down. If Davis didn't kill Tupac, then who did? The prosecution thought they had a clear path to conviction. Davis had spent years talking, too much maybe, and now his own words had put him in a courtroom facing a murder charge that could finally close the case on Tupac's killing. But if they thought this was going to be a straightforward trial, they were wrong, because now the defense is turning the case on its head. The original narrative was simple. Davis was the mastermind. He was in the Cadillac when the shots were fired. He provided the gun, called the shots, and ultimately set the wheels in motion for the drive-by that killed Tupac Shakur on September 7th, 1996. The prosecution was confident that a jury would find that compelling. But the defense? They're saying, not so fast. They're not just arguing that Davis's past confessions can't be used against him. They're going further. They're introducing new evidence, new witnesses, and even a brand new theory about who was actually behind the hit on Tupac. And if this strategy works, it won't just create reasonable doubt. It could unravel the case entirely. First, the new evidence. The defense has brought in witnesses who claim that Davis wasn't even in Las Vegas that night. That's right. After years of publicly placing himself at the scene, his lawyers now say they have people willing to testify that he wasn't there at all. That's a big swing, considering Davis himself has spent decades talking about the murder as if he were front and center. But now, the defense is saying that the public got the story wrong, that all those interviews, those books, those off-handed confessions, just hype, just self-promotion. And they've lined up people who will swear under oath that he was somewhere else. If a jury believes even one of those witnesses, that could be enough to shatter the prosecution's case. And then there's the second angle the defense is pushing, the question of how Tupac actually died. It's one of those details that no one ever thought to question because, well, it seems obvious. A man gets shot four times in a drive-by. A few days later, he dies in the hospital. Case closed, right? Maybe not. The defense has introduced medical experts who claim that Tupac may have been stable for days after the shooting, before taking an unexpected turn for the worse. They're raising the possibility that something happened inside that hospital room that contributed to his death. Whether it was medical malpractice, an infection, or something else entirely, they're trying to suggest that Tupac's death wasn't as straightforward as people think. Now, legally, does that change much? Probably not. If a gunshot wound leads to someone's death, whether it's instantaneous or a week later, it's still murder. But what this argument does is introduce just enough uncertainty to complicate things. It's not about proving that Davis is innocent. It's about making the jury hesitate, even for a moment. But the biggest bombshell? The defense is pointing the finger at someone else entirely. They're not just saying Davis wasn't there. They're saying the real mastermind behind Tupac's murder was Reggie Wright Jr., the former head of security for Death Row Records. It's the kind of accusation that turns a trial into a spectacle. Wright was at the center of the Death Row empire in the mid-90s, overseeing security for Suge Knight and his artists, including Tupac. He was in the mix during the height of Death Row's power, and some say it's chaos. And now, the defense is claiming he was more involved in that chaos than anyone realized. The theory goes like this. Wright and his team orchestrated the hit, not as some random gang retaliation, but as part of a bigger power play. They're suggesting that Wright and possibly other figures within Death Row had motives that went far beyond a fight in a casino lobby. They're hinting at internal conflicts, power struggles, and maybe even industry politics that have never been fully exposed. Wright, of course, has denied everything. He has said that the claims against him are nonsense, that he had no involvement in Tupac's death, and that this is just the latest in a long line of wild conspiracy theories about what really happened that night. And let's be clear, this isn't the first time his name has come up in connection with the case. Over the years, there have been rumors, speculation, and plenty of people willing to suggest that something bigger was at play. But now, this theory isn't just being whispered in online forums or in barbershops. It's being presented in a court of law as part of an actual legal defense. The question is, will a jury buy it? Because if they do, if they start to believe that the real killer is someone else, that the prosecution has the wrong man, or that there's more to the story than we've been told, then Davis's case could fall apart. The prosecution is already preparing to push back hard against these claims. They'll argue that the only reason this theory is being introduced now is because it's the defense's last resort. That there's no actual evidence tying Reggie Wright Jr. to the shooting. That the idea that Tupac's death was anything other than a direct result of that drive-by is just a legal smokescreen. And more than anything, they'll point back to the one thing that's been the bedrock of their case, Davis's own words. For years, he talked. He gave interviews. He wrote a book. He detailed the chain of events that led to Tupac's murder. And now, the prosecution is going to make sure a jury hears every single one of those words. But what happens when words collide with doubt? What happens when new witnesses, new theories, and decades of missing evidence come crashing into a case that was already fragile to begin with? And what if this trial, instead of bringing closure, only raises more questions? Because the closer we get to trial, the more it feels like the real story isn't just about what happened on the night of September 7th, 1996. It's about the larger battle for truth, one that has been twisted, debated, and rewritten for almost 30 years. And when this case finally reaches a jury, they won't just be deciding whether Davis is guilty. They'll be deciding what version of history they believe. Tupac Shakur has been dead longer than he was alive. Yet, nearly 30 years later, his murder isn't just a part of history. It's still an open wound. Theories, debates, and countless documentaries have tried to make sense of it. But for the first time, a court is set to decide who was responsible. That alone makes this trial monumental. It's not just another criminal case. It's a moment of reckoning for hip-hop, for law enforcement, and for the legacy of one of the most influential artists of all time. But will this trial actually deliver justice? Or will it just be another chapter in the never-ending story of Tupac's murder? One that ends with more questions than answers? No matter how this case plays out, the consequences will be huge. If Davis is convicted, it means the legal system finally caught up with the last living suspect tied to Tupac's death. If he's acquitted, it means we're back to square one. Decades of speculation, and no one officially held accountable. Either way, this trial isn't just about Davis. It's about what happens when a case drags on for three decades, when key evidence is lost, when suspects die, and when a culture changes around a crime that remains frozen in time. Because this isn't just a murder trial, it's a battle over history itself. If the prosecution wins and Davis is convicted, it will finally close the book on one of hip-hop's most infamous cases. It will mean that a jury believed the state's version of events, that Davis was the mastermind, that his own words condemned him, and that the story he has told for years is, in fact, the truth. A conviction would be a symbolic victory, not just for law enforcement, but for everyone who has been waiting for someone to be held accountable. For Tupac's family, it would be justice delayed but not denied. For hip-hop, it would bring a sense of closure, even if it comes decades too late. And for prosecutors, it would send a message that even the coldest of cold cases can still end in a conviction if someone is willing to talk too much. But if Davis walks, that's a whole different story. An acquittal or a dismissal would mean that after all this time, there still isn't enough solid evidence to convict someone of Tupac's murder. And that would be devastating, not just for Tupac's family, but for the credibility of the case itself. Because if not Davis, then who? The prosecution has bet everything on his own confessions. If those aren't enough to convict him, then what was this trial even for? The other possibility is that this case falls apart before it ever reaches a verdict. The defense is already fighting to get the charges dismissed. They're arguing that Davis had de facto immunity when he spoke with law enforcement years ago, and if a judge agrees, the whole trial could be over before it really begins. That would mean no conviction, no acquittal, just another frustrating dead end in a case that has already had too many of them. And if that happens, Tupac's murder stays officially unsolved forever. That's a reality a lot of people aren't ready to accept. Because even though this case is nearly three decades old, it still matters today. The trial isn't just about one man sitting in a courtroom in Las Vegas. It's about how we treat the legacies of cultural icons, how we handle long unsolved murders, and whether the justice system is actually built to handle cases that exist at the intersection of history, fame, and criminal law. It's also about what the case says about self-incrimination in the digital age. For years, Davis spoke freely about Tupac's murder. He gave interviews, he wrote a book, he put himself at the scene of the crime over and over again. And now, those words are being used against him in court. This trial could set an important precedent. Can someone really be convicted based almost entirely on their own past statements? Or is there a legal limit to what counts as evidence when no physical proof remains? Because let's be honest, without Davis's own words, this case probably wouldn't even exist. There's no smoking gun, no security footage, no forensic evidence that definitively ties him to the shooting. Just a man who talked a little too much for a little too long. That raises some big questions for law enforcement. If Davis is convicted, it could encourage police and prosecutors to reopen other cold cases that seemed impossible to solve. If his words are enough to put him behind bars, then maybe, just maybe, there are other cases out there where the key suspect has already given themselves away. They just haven't been charged yet. But if he's acquitted, it could have the opposite effect. It could prove that words aren't enough, that no matter how much someone brags, no matter how many interviews they give, you still need physical evidence to win in court. And if that's the case, it might discourage law enforcement from pursuing cold cases at all. Then there's the cultural impact. Tupac isn't just another murder victim. He's one of the most important and influential artists of all time. His music, his words, his legacy, they still shape hip-hop today. If this trial ends with no conviction, it will fuel even more conspiracy theories. It will add to the myth, the idea that maybe Tupac's murder was never meant to be solved, that maybe there was something bigger going on that night in Las Vegas that law enforcement either can't or won't acknowledge. And if Davis is found guilty, that doesn't necessarily mean the speculation stops. There are still people who will never believe the official story, no matter what a jury decides. But at least, legally, the case will be closed. It won't bring Tupac back. It won't change the fact that one of hip-hop's brightest stars was taken far too soon. But it will mean that after all these years, someone was finally held responsible. For now, though, the waiting continues. Between now and the new trial date in 2026, there will be more motions, more arguments, and more headlines dissecting every move in this case. But one thing is clear. When this trial finally does happen, it won't just be about Davis. It will be about history itself. Because after 30 years of rumors, theories, and dead ends, a jury will have to decide what story they believe. And once that verdict is read, there won't be any rewrites.
He was charming, handsome, a devoted husband, a doting father. When his wife died tragically in a freak accident, everyone pitied him. He played the role so well, grieving widower, devastated, single dad, just trying to put the pieces back together. But the thing about perfect men, they're usually hiding something. And this one was hiding everything. The affair, the insurance policy, the other wife in another state who had no idea she was married to a walking crime scene. If she had only subscribed to True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, she could have listened to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi ad-free. And before everyone else, she could have seen through the lies. She could have gotten out while she still had the chance. Instead, she's just another case we'll be covering next week. Don't be her. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.